And we welcome you in. We thank you so much for being with us. I am Damian Barling, along with the cerebral assassin one, Jason Herbert Walker Ross. Two down, one to go. Again, we thank you so much for being here with us. We welcome those in listening all around the country on the radio.com app. You can too, even if you live here in Sacramento and you just got to go into the office. You don't want to miss any part of the show. Download the radio.com app from the App Store. Search KHDK. Boom. You listen to us all day long. Sacramento Kings got a couple of home games coming up here. One against Boogie and the Pelicans on Thursday, and the other one against your guy, John Wall.
Your guy, too.
Our guy.
Yeah.
We'll share him.
Yeah.
We'll share our responsibility for John Wall. Washington Wizards on the 29th. That's this Sunday. We will have tickets coming your way at 2:30. Stick around for that, and that'll be your chance to win tickets to see your Sacramento Kings. We will have those all week long. Winners and losers of week 7 coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Jay Ross, Kings dropped one last night, a game that we said this yesterday. You can't play with schedules, right? You can't start to try to project records and do things like that, particularly with a team like the Sacramento Kings. But we both looked at it's impossible to not look at the schedule and look, well, Dallas is very winnable. Denver is really, really tough on the second night of a back-to-back, and they're also the best team that they've played on this 3-game road trip. Dallas hadn't even won a game yet. Phoenix hadn't won a game till prior to last night. Taking the Eric Bledsoe situation, Earl Watson was fired over the weekend. Last night was a game that Sacramento should win. That's a game that a young team like Sacramento has to learn how to win, because I still believe, even after that loss yesterday, they're a notch better than Phoenix.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it drives me nuts that they lost.
Yeah, and I think, you said we naturally shouldn't play the schedule game, but we kind of do in our head. And so if we do it that way of the 4 games, I think they're only off by 1. I mean, I didn't envision them beating Houston. I like how they were competitive and were in it. I thought Dallas was the most winnable game, or Phoenix, on the road trip. So they got Dallas, fell in line with a tough back-to-back in Denver. And then last night's a game I did feel going in that they could beat. It was a little bit of a win. It was a little bit of a wild card with the situation that Phoenix was going through. But then you add on Bledsoe not being there, and I thought it played out. And by the way, I don't think we mentioned it in the first hour because we're talking more about the Kings, but the guy who got put in the spot was Mike James, and he was great. He made a lot of big plays for Phoenix, and that's the other part of in the reality of sports. We always look at it right away like, oh, this guy's out. That's a huge boost.
Yeah.
It's opportunity for someone else, and he made the most of it. I thought he was really a big part of what Phoenix needed, and he played well.
And, and that goes back to the conversation that we had yesterday about Eric Bledsoe in terms of what Phoenix is realistically going to be able to do with them. Obviously, Woj and the various NBA reporters have been talking about this all day, but what type of value does a guy who obviously wants out of a very bad franchise that has been bad the entire time that he's there, what kind of value does that guy command? I wouldn't be shocked if enough time, Pat, they just release him.
Mm-hmm.
They just let him go. Like, we can't find a trade partner. We're not getting
That'd
anything of even remote value. And I wouldn't be shocked. Generally, that doesn't happen in the NBA, especially with starters and players the caliber of Eric Bledsoe. But really, what kind of player is he when Mike James walks in? You mentioned how well he played, incredibly efficient in the 26 minutes he was out there, 8-10 shooting, didn't make a lot of mistakes. And you said this could happen yesterday. You said that, they rally around Jay Triano. They rally around being the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out and get the job done against a team that, as much as I'm saying what I am about Phoenix, I have to imagine those Phoenix Suns players got around each other and said, yo, we could beat Sacramento.
Sure.
Like, this isn't Houston.
Right.
This isn't Oklahoma City. This isn't Golden State. We can beat them. And they did.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they did.
Well, and the more I think about Bledsoe, all we've been given, right, was we see a tweet, and then we hear from their general manager basically saying, yeah, he told me the hair salon, I don't buy it. All right, there's more than that, right? I mean, because to me, if it's a tweet that general manager doesn't like, what was the conversation? What really happened there? Does he really want out? I mean, that's a statement that doesn't look good, but has he been difficult? Has he shown other signs? That's something, we don't know, but I certainly would explore. Can this be fixed? It seems like it can't at this point. They've already jumped to, yeah, we're going to move him. This, but what else was there? There's more to the story.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. This feels like a culmination of things.
Like, so what else has happened to get him there?
And not an isolated incident.
Yeah.
So it stinks, man. Like, I was, again, we do our, it's impossible not to look at the schedule and play around.
Yeah.
Pelicans, doesn't mean they can't beat the Pelicans.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they can't beat the Wizards. I've watched both of those teams play. I know everyone is on this kick. The Pelicans aren't very good. Mm-hmm. Let's just, they have two really good players, and then that's where it ends.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday is, you know, that whole thing, it's not working.
Right.
But they have two really, really good players, and people have been saying for months, DeMarcus is going to come in here and score 50. Well, that's fine. DeMarcus Kings can score 50. Win. Anthony Davis can score 30. I guarantee you if that happens, the rest of the team has a combined like 9.
But who's inbounding the ball?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who would inbound the ball. Probably right. Whoever is closest to the referee, if you ask.
Yeah, I mean, they would have the two best players on the floor, right? That's safe to say. New Orleans will have the two best players on the floor coming into the game. All right. Besides that, then what?
But who's inbounding the ball? Jason Ross. Yeah. That's an ugly roster that they have. I know.
Yeah, they should be ashamed of what they did with that. Because, I mean, I don't fault them for their plan of what they did. They're trying something different with DeMarcus and Anthony Davis. Give them 4 or 5 shooters. Where are their shooters? Where's the help?
Well, Boogie can shoot. Like,
well,
he's turned into their shooter. And that's what I feel like that their mindset was, is we're going to bring you in and we're going to be able to, you know, we're not going to have to play you and Anthony Davis down in the low block. We're going to be able to stretch you. I would not be shocked at all if the Kings won. I'd be shocked all to hell if they won on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's an entirely different team than the New Orleans Pelicans are. But if they win Thursday on national television, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I've got a couple of social media. How do you lose to the Suns?
Yeah.
Like, well, first of all, the Kings they haven't established themselves as anything. And just, it's the cliche answer, but it's the NBA. The Kings beat the Warriors last year. They're not better than the Warriors. They beat the Cavs. They're not better than the Cavs.
Whatever, Jason.
They swept the Raptors. It happens. So Phoenix will win more games. They're not going to win one game this year.
I think if you sweep a playoff team, you should get their spot.
Kings would have been, what, about the 4 seed
they
last year?
They would have been the 4 seed in the East.
I like that. That's a good idea.
I think we should do that.
Yeah. You sweep a playoff team, you get their spot.
We came up with the idea for star swap. I think that it's happened.
This makes some sense.
Kyrie and Isaiah was a star swap.
Yeah, for sure.
It's happened. So yeah. I think, obviously, people in the NBA offices in New York are listening.
Yep.
I think
they always
do. If a team gets swept that's in the playoffs, they have to forfeit their playoffs.
Yeah, by a non-playoff team, that non-playoff team gets their spot.
That's it.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
But they just need to, I don't want to say forget, but live and learn, right? The starters weren't good. Start quicker. Bench, again, there are positive things to take from it, but there are also things that you can't just say, well, there's so many positives, they'll be fine. That's not it either.
Look for trends.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, a big conversation here amongst the text line earlier was the starting lineup. And now what do you do, you know, when you're falling behind? Was it 32-10? You're behind 36-17 at one point before they make a run there in the second quarter. It happens, right? Shots get missed. Whatever. Turnovers happen, which they didn't turn the ball over very much last night. So there's, you know, a bright spot for the Kings. But if it happens again, and then again, and then it's like, okay, now there's a problem here in the starting lineup. What is it? There needs to be an adjustment there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I know what it is, but it's obvious there's something about that first group that is just not able to get points for the team as soon as that opening tip happens.
Yeah, and a couple other trends. Again, just 4 games, but Coach Yeager warned. He was worried about rebounding. They've been out-rebounded 3 games. They lost all 3. The one they did out-rebound an opponent was Dallas. They won that game. So little things to keep your eye on. But, again, first game for Bogdanovich did some good things. De'Aaron Fox continues to play well. Man, Temple played his heart out. I know he's going to kick himself for the missed free throw and then the missed 3 at the buzzer. He had Bogdanovich on the left. It would have been a quick pass and shoot, but I had no problem with Temple taking the last shot.
I'm fine with Temple taking that shot, too, Mike. The thing that got me was De'Aaron Fox. Like, I'm all about going for the win instead of the tie on the road.
Yeah.
And I think Garrett Temple, the way that he was shooting there in that fourth quarter, that's the guy who I want taking the shot. However, how close do you think De'Aaron Fox could have gotten to the basket had he been the one who caught the ball?
All the way.
Right. That's what we marvel at, right, is how fast he is. He probably could have gotten past someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like not just gotten to the basket, but gotten past people getting to the basket. And, you know.
Well, who inbounded the ball? It's back to that.
Edward was on to something. Yeah. If you're not getting the who inbounded the ball reference, you need to subscribe to the Lowdown podcast on iTunes. We got a hell of a phone call from Edward earlier. Text line is all over the place this morning. Is it because it's the Suns? Because if this is the Warriors last night, or if it's the Rockets from night one, they lost by two. But it's the Suns, so we're looking at it totally differently than we would another team. And I think that has a lot of people frustrated here this morning. We got winners and losers of week seven coming up here in just a heartbeat. Jeff, thanks for the call, my friend.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys kind of talked about it already a little bit, but at what point do you think Coach Yeager just says, hey, we're going to throw Fox in the starting lineup and maybe get Bogdanović in there as well to see what he can do with the starters?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I'd wait for a trend.
I think we're getting closer, though, right?
Yeah.
If there's a turning point, those two guys did play a lot of minutes, just didn't start. But it, like you said, Damian, if the trend continues where it's slow starts, they've got to switch something. Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, because I mean, I think last night's a good point. You know, they get down early, and I think it's second game in a row that's happened. Yet those guys come off the bench, and maybe they're going against different guys at that point. But maybe give them a shot against the other team's starters and see what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect stuff like that to happen this season, to happen, you know, several games in, several weeks in, maybe even a couple of months in. Jeff, again, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for the call. We greatly appreciate it. If you want to jump in here in this final hour of the Lowdown, we'd love to hear from you. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Text line as well, which has been rolling all day, 44-11-40.
Yeah, one thing I thought of last night, while it's happening, we saw Bogdanović and we saw Fox in the second half, and they were with, you know, that was Temple, it was Costa was in a lot. I kind of wouldn't mind seeing Fox and Bogdanović with someone like Zach Randolph or with Willie. We just haven't seen, it's still early. They're gonna mix this all around, and we're going to see lots of different combinations.
Yeah. Let's get into winners and losers of week seven of the NFL season, and we'll get back to the Kings. Again, if you want to jump in, you're more than welcome to here at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Before we get to winners and losers, a couple of more basketball notes. If you haven't watched Giannis Antetokounmpo yet this year, you're missing out on just the great first four games of the year story. 32-14, 6 last night. The Memphis Grizzlies. They stay unbeaten. They beat the Houston Rockets last night. Down by double digits there in the fourth quarter. Grizzlies were able to come back and get that win. Dallas still winless as Golden State gets going. Spurs score the final 11 points of the game. They stay undefeated as well. Philadelphia gets their first win. Oh, I meant to read this to you. Philadelphia got their first win last night. Ben Simmons got a triple-a-double. Give Giannis Antetokounmpo the MVP and give Ben Simmons the rookie of the year right now, please. Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
I was making fun of him yesterday.
Yeah, his free throw form?
Yeah, he had fluid drained from his shoulder after playing through pain. Woj says he can't raise his arms to shoot.
Well, that explains a few things now, right?
If that would explain a lot.
Yeah.
But we'll monitor that situation as, you know, draft picks that go to Philadelphia, sometimes they miss years at a time.
Sadly.
Let's get to winners and losers of week seven of the NFL season. Want to be creative to lead it off or just be as easy as possible?
Either one. Let's go creative.
Creative. Okay. How about this one? This is the most creative one I could come up with for you. Big winner of the week, John Fox. John Fox was as good as fired a few weeks ago. John Fox, head coach of the Chicago Bears. Good as fired a couple of weeks ago, right? Or so we thought.
Yeah.
Bears beat the Panthers 17-13. Mitchell Trubisky went 4-for-7 passing. It was the first time a team had thrown fewer than 10 passes in a game since 2011 when Tim Tebow went 2-for-8 in a win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver's coach in that game.
John Fox.
It was the first time a team had thrown 7 or fewer passes in a game since 2006 when the Panthers beat the Falcons 10-3 on the strength of a 4-for-7 32-yard performance by Chris Wankie, Carolina's coach. In that game,
John Fox.
John Fox knows how to get it done.
Creativity there.
Big winner this week, John Fox.
If I'm Trubisky, it's like,
how ridiculous
take me
that?
Out of that company of Winkie and
yes,
Tebow.
Yes, please.
And that's what I was saying earlier when I was talking, one small thought, we should throw the ball.
Isn't Chris Winkie, is he a Florida guy too? Is Chris Winkie a Florida
Florida
guy?
State.
Oh, Florida yeah. State. Okay. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. not to them.
Same thing. Well, yeah. That's all right. They're
yeah.
not here.
To us.
They're listening on the app.
I don't know if this one would have fallen in line for your obvious one, but I'm going back to Thursday. Raiders saved their season. They absolutely saved their season. That drama at the end, I know I wasn't here Friday to talk about that game. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, what drama. They won, they lost, they won, they lost. It was all over the place. But at the end, they did win, and that was so critical for them. I don't know where it's going to take them, but I do think they were done. I think that would have buried them, and they don't have to worry about that for the time being. If they can win in Buffalo, they're back on track, and there's still some ifs here. But I think they were a huge winner for that victory. And, you know, Amari, we've been crushing him, but he had the breakout game that he needed.
All right, I went with creative with the first one. I'll go with the obvious for the second one, Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Not for his four touchdowns, though. Not for being 6-1. Carson Wentz is a winner for merely not being drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, okay.
That was just last night was just a fresh reminder of see what happens when a team constantly screws up their personnel. That player thrives and succeeds in the environment that they wind up in.
Yeah.
Good for Carson Wentz.
My next one is...
Yeah, and the four touchdowns and all that
that's
other stuff.
All add on. Yeah.
But I feel like not being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns significantly bigger.
Yeah, I'm going to put Drew Brees in there for his history he made, number 500. But more importantly, you know, I think he is one of the great quarterbacks we've ever seen. I really do. But it's considered great. I think people think he'll be a Hall of Famer. But we've also missed him lately in the postseason. And what they've done now with four consecutive wins, they've flipped over that division. I don't know how far they're going to go, if they're going to continue to lead that division. But they're back in the conversation. And they've tried to run more. They've got a little more stability. They've had some good wins. He's been a part of it. So I think him and the Saints in totality were a good winner this week.
I mentioned this guy a lot yesterday, Calais Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
He has recorded his 10th sack of the season against Indianapolis. First time since sacks were an official statistic that someone has reached 10 sacks so quickly.
All right.
I'll bundle the Jacksonville Jaguars up there,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah, they have to be with another one.
Yeah, second time they've had 10 sacks in one game just this season. Amazing.
My last one for a winner would be, and it's going to be Dolphins fans. Because as much as I'm anti-Jay Cutler, I'm never going to root for anybody to get hurt. I don't want to see him leave the game because of that. But the circumstance...
You just want to see him leave.
I do. The circumstance got them to Matt Moore. Matt Moore led a comeback. I don't know that Adam Gase is going to make that switch. The injury needed to happen. Not that, again, that's what set this up. But I think Moore now has an opportunity to play here Thursday night. And maybe it's going to get this team to a better spot. Though they're winning, I'll give them credit for that, but I think they may have gotten there in a way I wouldn't root for, but I think the fans of Miami could win out on this.
Okay, a couple of more. I have two more to show love to here in the winners category. Eddie Jackson, first player in NFL history with multiple defensive touchdowns of at least 75 yards in a single game, had a 76-yard interception return and a 75-yard fumble return, both for touchdowns. If you're bad at math, I'll do it for you. That's 14 points. The Bears scored 17. Really didn't matter. They would have won 14-3 with just those defensive points as it was. And one final winner, Jeff Heath, safety for the Dallas Cowboys. He was kicking field goals and doing kickoffs by the end of the night because it looked like, Dan Bailey got hurt during mm-hmm. warmups. And he's going to miss a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They brought in Ted Nugent. Bengals kicker.
Yeah, not Ted Nugent.
Oh, wait, Ted Nugent's someone else.
He's a singer. He's a rock, a musician.
Isn't Mike he like Nugent. A super racist? Yeah. Oh,
that's perfect that you said that.
It's fantastic, yeah. Isn't it? I love that guy. Yeah. I follow him on Twitter. He's a fantastic follow.
Yeah. No. He's woke.
He's not woke. He's sleep.
Yeah.
He's sleep. Losers? Besides me for the Ted Nugent remark?
I'm going to label this as the idea of revenge. Right? When, the Super Bowl rematch, the Falcons and the Patriots. Could that be the first game we get this year? We didn't. It wasn't the Thursday night. But that Sunday night showdown, that is going to be huge. That's going to be the game of the week. Can't wait. The fog made it an interesting element. It just wasn't an interesting game at all. Atlanta didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They're the ones that had everything to play for. New England thumped them in the second half of the Super Bowl, and they got them again here. That idea of revenge just didn't quite play out.
Yeah. Hugh Jackson took so many L's this week. I'm not even putting him on this
too
list.
Too easy.
This is just way too easy. Kirk Cousins.
Really?
Yes, but only on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
He's 0-6.
Why is that's a weird one.
No idea, yeah. But that's the only reason he's on this list. He threw for 300-plus yards yesterday. He played very well, but he's 0-6 in his Monday Night Football career.
Yeah, I put one on here, too, a little bit of a what we think about people when they're not playing to when they get to play. And I put Jacoby Brissett, because when he was a Patriot and he played, it's like, man, how does New England do it? They find these guys. That guy would be great on any other team. Well, we're seeing him on another team. I think the other team may not be that great, the Colts. I don't know that he's helping his cause. I mean, he's had some moments, but more times than not, I go, I don't know what he is. And I feel for him because I think we felt better about him when he didn't play. Now that he's playing, I feel like he just kind of he's in a tough situation.
Big L this week, Jay Ross, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Not because Aaron Rodgers got hurt, but because Mike McCarthy spent the better part of media sessions for 2 days screaming at reporters who asked them about quarterbacks, about veteran quarterbacks, about Colin Kaepernick quarterbacks, about any quarterbacks other than the two that he has on his roster. This is the way we've set up our system. I mean, he was damn near yelling at everybody. It didn't work out in his favor.
Yeah.
Brett Hunt, look, it was his first game, and I'm not going to kill that kid by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But Mike McCarthy want to be a little bit more careful the way he talks to media when media is actually asking what are legitimate questions. And when your quarterback goes out there and doesn't perform well, it doesn't reflect well on you that you were screaming at everybody who was asking you about the position in which you had just lost a Hall of Famer. So he takes a big L for me this week.
Yeah, I'm also going to put in there the 49ers. I know it's easy, but I wasn't always putting him there. I wasn't that down on their 0-6, but 0-7, the way they played this week, they made a change at quarterback, so you're looking for a boost there. Beathard played okay, but the defense took 3-4 steps back, and then you say you're done with a guy in Navarro Bowman, and he goes and plays a nice role for the Raiders across the bay in a team that's trying to get to the playoffs, but you say he's got nothing left. I just thought the whole week was not a good week for the 49ers.
You got any more losers?
That was it.
I'm surprised you didn't put this one in there. This is a Jason Ross special.
Okay.
44-7, 20-0. 33-0. Combined score 97-7. You know where I'm going. The three games in London.
Yeah.
London. Just all of London. Yeah. Big L.
They'll make up for it this week with the Vikings and the Browns. Is this on?
Who's inbounding the ball, Jason?
I better find out quick. Whoever's closest to the ref.
London took a massive L again this week. It's not good, but they keep, oh, we got to do this. We got to expand the pool. We got to expand the game. We got to broaden the game. Nobody wants this.
Nope.
This is awful. Ratings are plummeting yes. because of London football.
Send them back.
even London's like, man, we're good, bro. Yeah. Like, we're cool.
Yeah.
We'd rather watch the Mavericks at this point, and they haven't won a game either. Like, this is just absolute trash.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll take a look ahead at week 8 of the NFL season. This was a bad week in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is week 8 going to be better? It has to be better, right? Right? Mm-hmm. We'll get back to the Kings as well. Man, text line, boy, you guys are not. We already got texts here talking about the 2018 draft.
For the
Kings? Yes.
Whoa.
It's an 82-game season, guys. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this. Plus, Kings, Wizards, we got your tickets in 4 minutes. Twitter is showing no mercy for that Ted Nugent flub.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think between that and your Tom Brady yesterday, we've had two of the greatest on-air brain farts in recent lowdown history.
I'm still mad about the Tom Brady one, but that was good.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was just fantastic.
Just couldn't even find it. Like, 500. Who could it be?
What was it 400 yard touchdown? 500
touchdowns.
500 touchdown club. Four quarterbacks were in it. Drew Brees was one of them. He had just gotten there. I asked Jason to name the other three. Starts with Favre, goes to Manning, and just can't
and then I'm going
out.
Like Fouts. I'm going.
I would have died if because you didn't say Fouts out loud.
No, but that's where I almost said that. I'm like, gosh.
If you had said Fouts on the air, I might have died just right here on the radio.
And
I would have
like,
died.
It's obvious. I'm like, okay, Fouts. I'm like, who else? Wait, let's see. Montana, no. Just didn't have it.
That's all right. If Ted Nugent doesn't work out, maybe Dallas can call Rick Springfield. That's here from Twitter as well. You can get Jason on Twitter. Yeah, at JasonRoss1140, at DamianBarling1140. Of course, you can get us here on the text line. 44-11-40. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host rival Cal Poly at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 4 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com. Speaking of tickets, Sacramento Kings got two games at home this week. Well, I guess Sunday doesn't constitute this week. That's the start of the next week.
Is it?
That's how the calendar works. Is it? Isn't
it? I don't know. Calendar sometimes. Do you feel like
I get confused?
I feel
as hell.
It's the end of the week.
When the calendar starts on Monday, I get confused.
Yeah. Because we're used to calendars usually put Sunday first.
Is there no protocol for this? Isn't Sunday the first day of the new week?
But isn't it?
Seems ridiculous that Sunday is the first day of the new week.
But
it should be Monday.
What is the day? What do you call Saturday and Sunday?
The weekend.
So is that the end of the week?
With an E. The weekend with
an
E.
A couple of E's. Two of them together. I feel like Sunday is the end of the week. There's a caller that he's called in before and say that's not the weekend. It's the start of the week.
That's a thing? Someone said that?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you start the calendar then on a Sunday and not
on
Monday?
Then wait,
but if you think about bookends, starts at the beginning and the end.
But that's bookends.
Weekends.
Yeah. End of the week?
No, weekends.
No,
like
contain the week.
Contain the week.
Oh,
I like
it. Okay, like that's the sandwich. It's the bread.
It's the bread. That's
or the
right.
Books.
It's the bread and Monday. Monday is probably the tomato or something.
Oh,
I don't know what
it's
Monday is.
Mustard.
Yeah.
Monday is mustard. Friday is like, what would Friday be?
For you, it'd probably be the meat.
Yeah.
For me, it's like the eggplant or something. The tofu sandwich or whatever. The phone lines are already erupted. I haven't even said it yet. We got a pair of tickets to see the Sacramento Kings play the Washington Wizards on Sunday. You want to get your hand on those? Well, you're not getting through because I'm looking at the phone lines right now. But you could try. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get those tickets to you. I promise we will have them all week. You want some more information, go to khdk.com. Kings, Wizards. That'll be a fun one. I'm excited for that one.
So when we're watching football on Sunday, we're starting our week?
Yep.
Hmm.
Sunday is the start in America. And damn it, we're Americans.
Hmm.
Red-blooded meat-eating American.
Is that bold or something?
No, in other countries, it's the end, like Mexico.
Well, now I'm confused. So it's the start of the week?
Well, that's what I always thought. I always thought Sunday was day number one,
okay,
and Saturday was day number seven.
Hmm. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. There's 7 days in a week.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
You won't get this type of intellectual stimulation from anywhere, folks. I'd like to relive this entire conversation and some of our greatest flubs. Subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. All of our stupidity will be delivered right to you. Overtime stops on Saturday, so Sunday is the beginning of the week.
So more people are saying that. Are we getting any of that saying it's the end of the week?
Nope. Oh. Well, just the one that says in Mexico it's the end of the week.
Hmm.
I'm not really monitoring what's happening down there, though.
Okay. Well, maybe it's official. Maybe we've solved it.
I think we have.
Yeah.
I mean, what don't we solve here on this
show?
Our
texters are never wrong.
They are never wrong, and the phone lines are hot. Obviously, we're stimulating conversation. I don't know if it has anything to do with seeing the unbeaten Washington Wizards take on the Sacramento Kings Sunday. But again, as a mail carrier – mail carrier! Wait, what?
Uh-oh.
Oh, he just threw a monkey wrench into the whole thing.
Let's hear it.
As a mail carrier, the week starts on Saturday. That doesn't work.
No.
Are you watching a soccer game still?
Is
that why you look so pissed off?
Yeah.
Like, you guys can't see Chris. He just looks
He's
so angry today.
It. What is there more to that from the mail?
No, that's
mail
it.
Carrier?
Nope. As a mail carrier, week starts on Saturday.
That doesn't make any sense.
No one says, man, I can't wait for the week to start.
Yeah. The weekend.
Now leave it to the text line to complicate things. Now it's just getting weird. Janet Jackson will not be performing with Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl. She's going to be on tour.
There's always room to
allegedly
go over to Minnesota.
Always room. And Minnesota's sort of the center-ish of the country.
Ish.
Week 8 of the NFL season. It can't be – oh, by the way, Hall of Famer James Lofton. He's going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
At 1:30. He is calling the Raiders game.
Raiders-Bills.
Raiders-Bills. Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah, in Buffalo.
That's a good one. No Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. Suspension was upheld. Not that it matters. He hasn't been particularly effective. That was his best run from the sideline to the skirmish.
He was quick.
This is his best run since week one.
It was.
By far. This is his best run. But James Lofton's going to join us tomorrow at 1:30. But a quick look ahead at week 8 as we wrap up week 7 completely. We just did our winners and losers. How about this? Dolphins-Ravens in Baltimore. You excited for that one?
No, they could put that one in London.
Vikings and Browns is in London. Vikings are 5-2.
They could put that one Thursday in London.
Yikes. Mentioned the Raiders and the Bills already. Colts and the Bengals. Someone has to
win. I don't know where they should put that game.
Oh, these texts. Oh, dear.
Do we have anything better this weekend? Than,
no, we
or
don't.
This start
is not
of the
good.
Work week?
Here, Raider fans, you'll be excited about this one. Chargers and Patriots.
Okay. Now we got something. That's in New England?
That's in New England.
Yeah. Chargers playing a lot better. You know what? That game is going to be close in the fourth quarter. They always are with the Chargers.
The 3-4 Chicago Bears and your New Orleans Saints. Superdome.
New Orleans should put on a show.
Falcons at the Jets. That's interesting because the Jets defense has been.
Isn't it good. Funny that feels like an interesting game?
Yeah, like this. What is wrong?
Is
with
that
Atlanta?
More an indictment on the Falcons or a praise to the Jets?
Well, it's an indictment on the Falcons.
Yeah,
the Jets have already run 3 more games than most of us
True.
Thought that they would. The 49ers, we'll just skip who you're playing this week. Panthers and Bucks.
Okay. Actually, it doesn't seem like it should be interesting, but it is. Panthers have slipped a little bit here lately after a good start. And I do think Tampa's better than their record, but until you prove it, that's a big game for both teams.
Those are two desperate teams.
Yes.
In a desperate division. The Texans and Seahawks in Seattle.
I think that's going to be a tough one.
Deshaun Watson in Seattle.
That's going to be a tough one for him.
Dallas in Washington.
That's a good game.
Pittsburgh and Detroit. That's Sunday night.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's Sunday night.
Detroit's had a bye week. Pittsburgh has been playing better. They sneak in some duds every once in a while, but that's a good one.
And then good news all around for Raider fans. As we mentioned, the Chargers got the Patriots and then the Broncos and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, if this weekend goes perfect for the Raiders, they beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
I guess you want the Chargers to lose probably to New England, and then Broncos somehow finding a way to win in Kansas City. I don't know if that'll happen, but that'd be a perfect week for the Raiders.
Yeah, but if the Broncos get their fourth loss,
yeah,
you're probably pretty happy with that also.
That's true, and they're showing that they can't win away from home.
Right.
Yeah.
Sunday, my source, my parents talked to me about it as a kid. Pull up your calendar on your phone. What day starts the week? It's Sunday, I think, right? Didn't we just establish that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday. That's the one. Sunday is one end. Saturday is the other end. Oh, see? How about this text right here? So would Friday or Saturday be your Dirty Diana?
For you, it's different. Mine's like Monday.
Monday's your – yeah, because you are so – you are so freaking disrespectful to Dirty Diana. It drives me nuts. I'd probably go –
it's a top 11 song.
I'd go Saturday. I'd go Saturday. The text line, Kings fans wanted these Kings tickets so bad, they're actually screaming at Chris through the text line, which is new. Of the 2 years, you know, a year and a half of this show, I think this is the first time Chris has actually been yelled at through the text line. God rested on the seventh day, which is Sunday. Yeah, dude, we know that. But what does that have to do with – does that –
That means it's the start or the end.
So was God sitting around on Sunday like, crap, man, tomorrow's Monday?
Yeah.
Like, what does that text mean? No one knows. That's what we just – I love when we get into these conversations that don't have answers and everyone thinks they have the answer. Yeah. I think Chris gave the best answer. The weekend. The bookends.
Okay.
One end and the other end.
So it's a start. Sunday's the start.
And the end.
Yeah.
And Sunday is the end.
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced.
I'm confused. I'm going to go work for the post office. So Saturday's the beginning.
So Saturday's the beginning, and that clears everything up. Game one. In fact, you're going to have a pretty clear night. Not a lot of marquee basketball games on tonight, but we'll let you know what to pay attention to. Game one of the World Series coming up here in just a little bit. We'll wrap things up next here on the Lowdown. Man, we're wrapping things up. Robert Guillaume died. He was Benson. Yeah. That's what I know him best as. He's Benson.
89, did I see? Is that what he was?
He was 89 years old. Actually, that's not true. That's not. That's what I all. That's what I always know his face from.
Mm-hmm.
It was Rafiki, The Lion King.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The bummer. I mean, 89, like it's not like he was taken too soon.
Right.
Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host River. See, you, that's your fault.
You.
That's absolutely your fault. Just hit the dump button. Let's start all over again. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host rival Cal Poly at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 4 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com. We'll have another chance for you to win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings and the Washington Wizards on Sunday. We'll have a chance for you to win those tickets tomorrow. As we mentioned, Hall of Famer James Lofton will join us at 1:30 tomorrow. He's going to be calling the Raiders and the Bills this weekend. So we'll get a nice little head start. Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider, will be with us. Lots of fines going around. There's an epidemic where NBA players suddenly, I'll keep it PG. Suddenly NBA players, Kyrie's been fined. Josh Jackson's been fined. DeMarcus Cousins, they've all been fined for yelling obscenities at fans.
Yeah, watch your mouth.
Josh Jackson got lucky.
He did. I think that was pretty egregious.
That Twitter video was sent to me. He yelled F you at a fan while making kind of he made a gun motion as if a gun was firing at the fans. Like, hey, come on, bro.
Right.
You're not a little thug puppy anymore, man. You're in the NBA. Calm down, man. You're going to be getting a lot of that. And now that fans see that they can get a rise out of you, it's like that DeMarcus Cousins video. I don't have any sympathy for DeMarcus Cousins, but I had sympathy for that situation because those guys who took that video of him last year.
Right.
They spent 25 minutes trying to get a 5-second rise.
Yeah,
out
they were
of
baiting him.
And he went for it.
Yeah.
Like he finally went for it. And he was eyeballing them the whole time before he finally, you know, unleashed whatever it was that he said that got him in trouble.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch suspension upheld. We mentioned we'll be talking to James Lofton tomorrow. We won't be talking to him about Marshawn Lynch because he will not be playing this weekend. I'm pretty sure we touched on everything regarding the NFL this week. I think we did a pretty damn good job of talking about all the things we're supposed to talk about. That doesn't always happen.
I know. We got it all in.
Sometimes we leave a big chunk of stuff behind. The World Series starts tonight. It's Keuchel and Kershaw.
Yes.
Who do you like? We know we talked to Dallas Braden earlier. He likes Houston tonight. He likes Houston in 7.
I'm going to disagree with him on that. I think the Dodgers, I'm going to go with they've got the best pitcher in Clayton Kershaw. Verlander's pitching well. Keuchel's a good pitcher. They by far have the better bullpen. I think that's the biggest discrepancy, and that's what he brought up. They've been hot. They're a good team at home. Houston's a good team at home. I just, you know, Dodgers, even with that lull in August, have almost been the best all season long, and kind of feels like their time. It just does to me. So I like the Dodgers winning this series. How about you?
So if you like the Dodgers winning the series, is Kershaw your MVP? Because you gave him a lot of praise.
Well,
there.
I don't know if – I mean, it's going to depend. You mean for the series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd predict that. I kind of – that is going to be depending on how it all plays out. But, no, I probably wouldn't pick him.
Is it a World Series MVP or is it a postseason MVP?
It's World Series MVP. Yeah,
that, I mean, it's always a finals MVP, like that particular.
Right.
Because like
they just had an ALCS and an NLCS MVP. So.
Oh, that's right. Because every time you have a champagne bath, you got to give out an MVP award.
Seemingly.
Too.
Yeah. This last one, at least, is legit. You're okay with the last celebration.
That one
makes sense. The World Series one.
I'm actually surprised that Dallas Braden didn't go with, like, Justin Turner.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers, you know, I mean, like, doesn't Justin Turner look like, can you imagine those two like hanging out together?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I actually expected him to go on at least a 7-minute rant about how great Justin Turner is.
Yeah.
Who
do you have winning the series?
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of am along the same lines of you. The best player, I think, is Altuve. And if I was on the fence about who the best player in the series was, Dallas Braden certainly he was adamant who the best player in the entire league was.
Yeah.
And
which is really cool to see. How I mean, he is amazing.
But could this be a moment where Yasiel Puig, you know, has that big October moment? I really want the Dodgers to win tonight because I feel like the Kershaw narrative isn't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it should be because the last 8 games he's pitched, I think his team has won 7 of them. So that's I think that's enough to shed a label
right.
that he probably wasn't even just for in the first place. But if he wins a World Series game,
yeah,
even game
done.
One, yeah, I think
it should be.
I think we could, especially if he goes out there and plays really, really well.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we get a lot out of Kershaw tonight and we get the Dodgers to win.
Yeah, and I just think lineup top to bottom, I mean, the Dodgers have so much talent. They really do. So much, I mean, just hitting all the way through. So we'll see.
Louie, you want to jump in here as we wrap things up, my brother?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the reason Josh Jackson didn't get in too much trouble is because it was a water gun he was gesturing. He was just telling the fan to cool off.
Ah.
Maybe it had flavor vodka in it, too. I don't know.
See, that's uncalled for.
Well done, Louie.
Uncalled for. Unnecessary,
well done.
Louie. We appreciate you, Louie. Thank you, my man. We appreciate you. It was great seeing you at the Golden One Center the other night, too. I appreciate our longtime listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
Long time all the way back to last week.
Yes.
Players got to stop doing this, man. Mm-hmm. This is. I mean, Kyrie. What was the line to Kyrie? Where's LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
That was the line that set Kyrie off. Who God knows what set DeMarcus Cousins off. There'll be a lot of. That's the next game. There's nothing tonight and tomorrow for the Sacramento Kings, right?
Not for them. The Pelicans play the Blazers.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Kings are off until Thursday.
Pelicans play the Blazers. There's some good games. The Wizards have the Lakers. I don't know that that's necessarily a good game tomorrow night on ESPN, but I think anytime you get the Lonzo Ball factor, you have a great team like Washington, that you got that one. Then you have Washington and the Warriors before Washington comes mm-hmm. here. That's a Friday nighter.
Yeah.
That'll be fun also.
I'm anxious to see Washington in person again because they're not going to look much different mm-hmm. than what we saw last year, but I just – another year together, another year with Scott Brooks. I think that team's going to have a good year.
I might make the drive for that game.
Warriors?
Yeah.
Oh, you should.
I kind of want
if you
see,
can.
I kind of want to see those two teams play.
That's a great atmosphere, too. They're a great team, but the atmosphere overall has just really been elevated there for a couple years.
Yeah, and not a lot of marquee games. We kind of mentioned this a few minutes ago. Not a lot of marquee games in the NBA tonight. So you can just kind of shift your focus to the World Series, and when the show started, I had kind of asked you, like, are you excited for this? Are you feeling it? I'm not,
mm-hmm.
but I know when I sit down in front of the TV and it's the World Series, then I'll be all in for it. I don't know if I'm disappointed that it's not the Yankees. Not that, you know, I don't have a horse in the race at all.
Right.
Like, I don't care who wins or loses, but I felt like there would have, I don't know, like if Houston wins, it's a day story, right?
If Houston wins the
whole
World thing?
Series, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how far that goes.
Like, I feel like
I think it depends on how it happens. But, yeah, besides that, just the story itself.
I mean, if the Kings play that night, it might be a second segment story. Like,
true.
I don't know what it is.
Right.
The Dodgers, there's probably a little bit more meat there. There's the Kershaw story. I know I've said this before. I don't want to harp on it too much. Houston, the tie-in is
right.
the Hurricane.
Sure.
With the Dodgers, you got Kershaw. You got Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got Los Angeles. There's a lot there, and obviously
and the drought
the Yankees,
a little bit that they've been in. I mean, it's been a little while. I mean, Houston's looking for their first.
This is their first ever?
First title, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Dodgers since '88. But I've always liked Dodger Stadium, going to it before many times, and I think it'll look. I mean, it's gonna have a good look on TV. I think that's gonna be a good watch.
I can't remember I don't remember a single thing about the Astros White Sox series. Nothing.
That is a great one. I don't know that I do either.
The White Sox won, obviously, uh-huh. which I knew that. I don't remember a single thing about it. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing sticks out at all.
Kaepernick has a deal.
Yeah?
A book deal. He signed a $1 million book deal with Random House, and that's where we're going to leave you. We'll be back tomorrow. As we mentioned, James Lofton will be with us at 1:30. Sam Amick will be with us at 2 o'clock. We'll recap game one of the World Series. We will see you tomorrow at noon.